All right, time to talk some NBA as Len Martez and Trey Downey talk to you. We call it simply Trey and Tez. Don't forget, you can follow us at TD Experience and at Martez620. Trey Downey, Len Martez. Been away for a little while, Mr. Downey, but the NBA season is upon us. Talk a little NBA today. We've got about, say about 10 questions.
10, 11, 12, somewhere around there, yeah.
To fire off about this upcoming 2016-17 season as the Cavaliers get to get their rings and raise a banner. We'll see who ends up raising that banner coming in June of next year.
We will see. And I think, you know, this has been a crazy offseason, one of the craziest in NBA offseason history. We talked to you at the end of the season after the finals, our thoughts on the finals. We talked to you after free agency. But now we get into some basketball. We're going to tell you who we think is going to win MVP, who we think is going to make the playoffs, who's going to make the finals. Some interesting questions in there. Is the guy that everybody's hyping as the next big thing this year, is that going to happen this year, or is it going to take another bad turn? But I think the only place that we can really start with this year is not even with the defending NBA champions, because the team that was the story of the offseason is the team that lost the finals, and the Golden State Warriors. They won an NBA record 73 games last year. First time since, I don't know, it was just a crazy season for them. They ended up losing in the finals to Cleveland in 7 games thanks to the block by LeBron, the 3 by Kyrie. You've seen it all. You know it all by now. But you also know by now that, you know, before Steph Curry winning back-to-back MVPs, there was a guy in Oklahoma City that won the MVP before him, and that was Kevin Durant. And now he just is a member of the Golden State Warriors. So this team is probably a better team. And the question that I think we should start with is, will the Golden State Warriors win 70-plus games again?
No. And the reason why I say no is because they know what it took last year to win those 70-plus games. And for them, it's about, what, having the record? They already have the record. There's no point in winning 74 or 75. And think about that. Think about the fact that we're talking about them winning 75 of 82 games. It's a grind as it is already playing 82 games, some back-to-back games in the NBA. But to set your sights on winning more than 73 would be foolish for them to do. So whether it be the coaching staff, the team, collectively the training staff, whatever it is, their goal is not to win 74 games this year. Their goal is to win an NBA championship, which they failed to do last year. And some say part of the reason why they didn't win an NBA championship last year was because of the way they went into the NBA playoff season and getting banged up, and Steph Curry not being at 100%. And I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what Steph says. He was not at 100% come Game 7 in the NBA Finals.
You know, I agree with you, and I don't think that they're going to win 70-plus games again either. I hate to say it because we all know how much not a fan I was of Kevin Durant's decision to go to Golden State just from a pure competitive standpoint and what, you know, is inside of him. But he's going to be motivated because he knows, and that team knows, and they're going to have to deal with it. Just like when LeBron went to Miami, and before when he was in Cleveland, he was the good guy. Everybody was rooting for him. The same thing was with Steph Curry when the Warriors were on the rise. And, you know, this was a guy that, you know, looked more like us and wasn't a complete physical freak like LeBron is. And I think that's a lot of the reason why Steph Curry became so popular and his rise was so quick, was because people thought they could relate to him. And he was such a good player. But with, you know, the things that Draymond Green has done on the floor in the playoffs,
they're the most hated team in the NBA.
Yes, with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, as I think, is just as, if I think the decision was worse than what LeBron did in going to Miami, in my opinion, I think he's just as hated, if not more, than what happened to LeBron. And I think they're going to have to deal with that. And I think this is a very comparable situation to what happened in Miami. And it took the Heat a while to gel together. And they didn't win the finals in their first year together. I'm not getting into that. I think they'll still be the number one seed in the Western Conference We'll get into more of that later. But I think it's especially when you're talking about winning 70 games and only having 12 losses in your pocket that you can have. If you have some stumbling blocks out of the gates, then that's not going to happen. And I still think they're going to win 65 plus, but 70 again, I don't think so.
There's a lot to be figured out as far as Golden State's concerned regarding who's going to take what shots, who's losing shots. You know, you go from playing Harrison Barnes at the three or the four, and now you're playing Kevin Durant there, a guy that's accustomed to getting to 15, 20 shots a game. And it's strange to think that Durant left Oklahoma City where he was wondering how many shots he'd get, and he goes to Golden State. And you know what? He doesn't know how many shots he's going to get in Golden State either. But, again, they're still the most talented team along with the most hated team in the NBA now, and it'll take them some time to figure things out.
And I completely agree, and I think a natural transition to this is probably the easiest question that we have on our list of questions that we're going to go over tonight. We're going to jump around in order a little bit, but I think the easiest way to go from there to here is what game on the NBA, this isn't like the NFL where you're looking, you know, they have the certain primetime Sunday night football games, Monday night football games that you're always circling on the schedule. But I ask you, Lynn Martez, and I have the same, I know we have the same feeling on this. What game this NBA season are you circling on your calendar saying, you know, it's an 82 game season, but if I'm not going to miss one game this year that I have to sit down and watch, what game is that?
It's the, let's see, let me think about it here. When, I think when Derek Williams comes back to Madison Square Garden and takes on the Knicks, I'm kidding, I'm joking. Yeah. It's the obvious one, and it's the one that if you're an NBA fan, you are going to circle if you haven't circled it yet, and we'll help you out and we'll give you the date. It's February 11th. It's when Golden State visits Oklahoma City, and Kevin Durant plays as a Warrior in Oklahoma City for the first time, and he plays against his former team, more importantly, his former teammate, Russell Westbrook.
And I completely agree, and I said that on, you know, on our free agency podcast, that this was going to be a huge game, and I really think it's February 11th, right before the All-Star break. Why are they not, we're recording this on NBA night as the Knicks and the Cavaliers are about to tip off. Why is this game not tonight? Or why is this game not on Christmas Day instead of February 11th? I think, you know, the NBA does a great job of scheduling those great Christmas Day games. You've got the finals rematch on Christmas Day. That's going to be exciting. But we're not talking about that finals rematch on Christmas Day as the game we're circling on our calendar. We're talking about this game when Kevin Durant is going back to Oklahoma City. I am so jacked about it. I hope, you know, it being so late in the season that and being right before the All-Star break, I hope everybody plays in that game. I hope everybody's healthy and ready to go. Knock on wood right now for that one. They play in Golden State, I believe, next week, very early in the season. I want to say November 4th is the date of that game. A Sunday game, I believe. Could be wrong on that one. But, you know, it's, we talked about, you know, LeBron going back to Cleveland and stuff like this, but this is going to be crazy. And especially for the fact that Russell Westbrook signed a contract extension and said, in, you know, he's gone out of his way to try and say he plays the same way every game and he's not circling that game on his calendar or anything. Players lie to the media. Russell Westbrook is lying to you. He knows he has that game circled on his calendar. Kevin Durant sent him one text. This whole situation that if you read the article by Lee Jenkins on from Sports Illustrated about everything with Russell, you know that photo on the 4th of July of that cupcake. It wasn't just a 4th of July celebration cupcake that Russell Westbrook posted on Instagram. It had meaning behind it. That was an inside joke between him and Kevin about players they used to call cupcakes when they thought they made a soft move. That is that, and I fully expect to see, I said it, I could see Russell Westbrook dropping 50, 60 points because he's going to be that motivated, and I think he's going to be that motivated all season long. And I mean, if you look at the teams from top to bottom, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Oklahoma City Thunder are a better team than the Golden State Warriors, but I would be willing to bet that Oklahoma City will win on that night.
He'll be motivated. He'll want to score 50 or 60 that night, but there's been times where Russell has gotten out of himself and unfortunately forced some shots, pushed the issue. But you made a point regarding why isn't the game tonight, Golden State and Oklahoma City, or why isn't it Christmas Day? Think about the fact that February 11th is a random Saturday night. Christmas Day, you don't have all the eyes. Tonight, World Series going on, opening night, you don't have all the eyes.
I'll disagree with you on the Christmas Day thing, because I think NBA basketball on Christmas Day has become about as synonymous as the NFL has with Thanksgiving, in my opinion.
For you being an NBA fan, but the average person is not looking into watching that game. But on February 11th, you open up presents, you're traveling. There's a lot going on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on Christmas Day. And besides that, you put it behind, make it a triple header, and there's three games already going on. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff going on Christmas Day. I think it's perfect having it on February 11th because there's one focus and one focus only. Sports-wise, there's nothing else going on.
There's nothing else going on. The week after the Super Bowl.
Baseball hasn't started yet. All it is the NBA, NHL. Not even Match Madness. You got one thing going on. You got February 11th. You got a Saturday night. You got Durant. You got Westbrook. That's it.
And I know my eyes will be glued on that, as they will coming to Match Madness as well. I'm really a big fan of that as well. But I think another interesting question, the next on our list was probably the other two biggest stories of the offseason and the huge turnover, I guess, when you talk about the Chicago Bulls roster and what they've done and Dwayne Wade leaving Miami. That's going to be another that if you want to talk about games that you could circle on your calendar. Neither team is going to be probably as good as Golden State or Oklahoma City will be. But when Dwayne Wade goes back to Miami, but I think that's going to be a different situation. He's going to be showered with cheers rather than boos when that happens. But you talk about that turnover, Rajon Rondo coming in, Dwayne Wade coming in, no longer having Derrick Rose or Joakim Noah. They go to the New York Knicks. And my question here is, both of these teams are going to be high-profile teams. They both have stars. They're both looking to turn around disappointing years last year and probably for the past couple years, especially when you're talking about the Knicks. Who's going to be better this year, the Knicks or the Bulls?
You're asking the wrong guy. It's a layup for me because one team is balanced, the other team isn't. For me, the Knicks are balanced. They don't have three guards in two positions. The Bulls have that.
Yes.
The Bulls have to figure out who's going to do what on that basketball team.
And out of the three of them, none of them are particularly good shooters. I mean, Jimmy Butler has developed a bit of an outside shot. You have some big men on that team that can step out and shoot the three, but I'm worried about where the shooting is going to come from when you're talking about that backcourt, especially when, if I had to guess, I'd say Jimmy Butler is probably going to start at the three, has a little bit more size than Wade. And there's a lot of talk about those two guys, especially Rondo and Wade, can they stay healthy and are they over the hill? And I think you've got the same question with the big additions in New York with a Rose and with a Noah. You can't really trust those guys when it comes to health anymore. I think to me, even though I've never been the biggest Derrick Rose guy for a multitude of reasons, I think he has a better chance of being closer to the best Derrick Rose this year than Joakim Noah has of being anywhere close to the best Joakim Noah, because I think Noah is basically done. And I'll be quite honest with you. We're going to talk about the eight teams we think are going to make the playoffs in the Eastern and Western Conference later.
Don't even say it.
I'm not sure I have either of these teams making the playoffs.
You're crazy.
I don't know if either of them are going to be very good. I think
All it takes is to be a 40-win team to make the playoffs.
Not in the Eastern Conference anymore. In the Western Conference, you had 500 teams making the playoffs last year. There were good teams in the Eastern Conference, and there are some young teams that are on the rise that are going to be wanting to make some noise in the Eastern Conference. And I'm just not being a homer here talking about being an Orlando Magic fan, because I'm struggling to see if I have a place for them in the playoffs.
Speaking of shooting, where's their shooting coming
exactly
from? Okay.
When you've got teams like Detroit, when I think the Wizards are going to be better this year after an off year last year.
There's a lot of turmoil on that basketball team.
Speaking of
guys who don't get along, there's two guys in that backcourt that don't get along.
I think Milwaukee will be a little better this year. I think Indiana's going to be really good.
Yeah, but some of these teams you're naming are playoff teams, so we know they're going to be there.
I think there's going to be a logjam with some of these young upcoming teams. You already have a Charlotte who has playoff experience from last year. I think that though, especially when you have guys that are supposed to be key members of your roster that could miss significant amounts of time, and that could come into play in a close playoff race when you have other teams that are more ran by younger players who are probably more likely to stay on the court and the team to have more continuity throughout the season. That's why I think if I had to pick, you know, which one, I think the Knicks will be a little better than the Bulls, just because I think in Porzingis, you really have a guy that could take the next step. And I love the Courtney Lee signing, 3-and-D right there all day. I love that signing for the New York Knicks. And I just don't – I think that the way that they've constructed that lineup, it fits a lot more than it does in Chicago. I don't think either team is going to be that great. It's going to be interesting to watch both teams. If I had to say which one's going to be better, I'd go with your Knicks, but I'm not on the 50-win Knicks bandwagon like you are.
He's Trey Downey, Len Martez, TNT Trey and Tez. Again, follow him out on Twitter at TD Experience, or myself at Martez620. All you need is one team not to make it. Charlotte's not making the playoffs this year. Okay, there you go. Charlotte's not making the playoffs this year.
See,
they lost Al Jefferson. They don't have an inside game like they've had in years past when they had an inside-outside with Kemba and Al Jefferson. They no longer have that. So they don't make the playoffs, and all of a sudden the Knicks make the playoffs. We're done. They're there.
We'll get into that more. But I think you just talked about that. You just talked about Charlotte, that you think they are going to miss the playoffs. I'll ask you this. This, it might not be Charlotte, but I think an interesting thing that goes into every NBA season is the hype surrounding certain teams and stuff like that. Lynn, who do you think is the most overrated team heading into this season? I've got an interesting one. And I'll tell you who mine is first. It's not in the Eastern Conference.
It's in the Western Conference. I know who yours is.
It's the Utah Jazz.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say the Spurs.
No. It's an under-the-radar team. The Utah Jazz, man, they are – a lot of people are hyping. I've seen predictions from reputable outlets as recent as today predicting that the Utah Jazz would knock off the Warriors in the second round of the playoffs.
That's a little bit out there.
I mean, I was one of the biggest fans. I was hoping to the good Lord that Orlando would draft Dante Exum a few years ago. But you still don't know what that guy is. Rudy Gobert, he's athletic. They just missed the playoffs last year, but a lot of people are predicting them to be a top four, top five seed in that Western Conference and be that team that, you know, is the darling. They're going to make some noise this year in the playoffs. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, it's really hard to say, you know, a team that missed the playoffs and hasn't been very good in recent memory is the most overrated team going into the season. But just the hype around Utah is why I think that they're the most overrated heading into the season.
Well, they've got to figure out their point guard position. But besides that, the team that I would say is overhyped, and it's not because I dislike this team, dislike their coach, although he has his moments with his sideline interviews. It's the Spurs. Watching them last year, watching how old they look, and I know Duncan is gone, and I know they replaced him with Gasol, another old guy.
The lateral move right there, I think.
A lateral, maybe even an improvement if you want to take the last couple of years with Duncan. But here's my
issue. Necessarily on the defensive end.
You're right. But my issue is, who's their point guard? Because you talk about breaking down. Tony Parker has broken down in the last 2-3 years every year. And not only that, the guys out in the West have shown you, have exposed the Spurs not having that guy any longer. And he lived off of quickness. Well, the older you get, the slower he's getting with his quickness. And again, in the Western Conference, Westbrook, Paul, those guys, they're still D-ing up. Steph, those guys are, those are three guys right there without even scratching my head that make Parker look bad defensively.
You've got guys, you've got young guys in Phoenix, a Devin Booker, you know, they're, I don't think.
My issue again is San Antonio's backcourt. Ginobili's back too?
I agree with you when it comes.
That's 80 years old. That's like 80, those two guys combined.
I agree with you on the backcourt side, but every time I think that Spurs are going to take a step back, they end up being the number one.
But we automatically pencil them in as a team to beat the Golden State too.
But see, the reason I think that they're still going to be really good and they're not overrated in a sense is because of how good I think Kawhi Leonard is. I think Kawhi is really not necessarily a top
He's
five.
He's one guy, though, Trey.
I think LaMarcus is going to have a lot better season this year without Duncan.
You saw LaMarcus struggle in the playoffs last year.
Without Duncan there, I think that's really going to help LaMarcus. And, you know, there's really not that much interior defense when you talk about him and Gasol. You want to talk about guys who can really get a defensive stop. There's really... You know,
and the firepower that Golden State has, and you're talking about,
but you don't really need inside defense when you're talking about Golden
State. But you still need to be able to keep up with them scoring wise.
Yes, but if you have, but if a guy like LaMarcus can get back to his offensive ways like he was when he was in Portland,
and
which
he did that with a point guard named Damian Lillard, that guy does not exist on the Spurs.
But I think Kawhi Leonard has that a little bit of the LeBron ability in him. LeBron's shooting can still be debated as the day is long, but I think Kawhi he's going to be in that MVP conversation. I think LaMarcus is going to have a bounce back year, and I don't necessarily think that they're overrated. Do I think that they're going to have a better record than Golden State? No, I don't either. But I think that there are so many question marks in the Western Conference below Golden State that I think that they are still going to be right up there in the top of the conference.
I would be surprised if San Antonio finishes in the top three. Clippers are better than they are. Golden State's better than they are. And I would tell you that probably Oklahoma City with their team and their youth is better than San Antonio. The big three is down to two. And one is 40, and the other one is 33, 34 years old, and they're not what they used to be.
But when you've got guys like Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, that's a pretty big two to have. Now, we talked about who's the most overrated team going into the season, but another interesting flip we can make on this, a lot of people, if we ask this question, the next question we're going to go to is who's going to be that breakthrough team? Who's going to be that team, you know, halfway through the season, and they're up there in the conference, and you're like, whoa, I did not expect that. And a lot of people are predicting the team that I said is the most overrated, the Utah Jazz, to be that team. I don't think that that's who it's going to be. And I said this a very long time ago, as soon as they made a specific move in the offseason, who I think the breakthrough team is going to be. A lot of people are saying pump the brakes. It might take them another year or so. But I think the breakthrough team of this NBA season is going to be the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Everyone does. A lot of folks do. My only issue with them is figuring out who's going to play the point.
It's still Rubio for now.
Yeah. Okay.
But we know that Thibodeau kind of wants him out. But you look at some of those Bulls teams. Derrick Rose, great player. Joakim Noah, very solid center. But I think this might be the... As far as a pure talent standpoint goes, this might be the best group of talent that Tom Thibodeau has ever had. And we saw what he did with some of those Bulls teams. And I think a lot of people are anointing Karl Anthony Towns really as the next big thing. I think Andrew Wiggins is ready to take that next step and possibly be an all-star caliber player. I still think, even though Kevin Love's a great player, I think that Cleveland messed up in trading Andrew Wiggins. I would have tried to find a way to keep him and possibly give up something else to make that work if you had to. But I see really great things coming out of Andrew Wiggins and a Tom Thibodeau coach team and Karl Anthony Towns really, you know, taking a step forward again this year. And those two guys together, I think they're going to be very good for a long time now. I think they're really the next team that's going to be on the rise. And I think they finish in the top five in the Western Conference. And that's for that a lot of that has to do with the question marks in the rest of the Western Conference. I think they're going to be really good, a top five seed in the Western Conference. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves, I kind of wish Kevin Garnett wouldn't have retired. I think they could have used that leadership, especially Karl Anthony Towns could have used that for a full season. I think that would have been nice to see, but I still think they're going to be a top five seed in the West.
Well, surprise team for me would be Indiana. You got another year of Paul George after having that injury he had in the, well, I guess it's the World Games.
Yeah, I think it was the World Championships.
World Championships.
Yeah. But I think it was a pickup game. I think it was like a prelim to the
prelim to the World Games, the World Championships. But bottom line is he's had another year to recover from that. I like Indiana. I like the hire. And
I don't necessarily like the fire, but I like the hire. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, because Paul George and those, but they do have a little bit of turnover, but we're going to get into, you know, who we think possibly could be the best challenger in the Eastern and Western Conference. And I really like Indiana as well. I like that. Because of how good Paul George is and because really he's other than, you know, LeBron, when you talk about the teams that could possibly be led by a superstar in the Eastern Conference, I think he's the first name that you got to look at on that list.
I like the idea of him coming back another year, having that explosiveness back, because you remember when it was George and Granger going up against the Heat when LeBron was in Miami, they went toe-to-toe the Heat.
And then you add pieces like an Al Jefferson, like a Jeff Teague instead of a George Hill. I think that's a significant upgrade right there. I think they're going to be very good, and you know they could possibly be one of those top two, three teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, I just talked about how I think Minnesota is going to be a very good team, but we saw this last year with the New Orleans Pelicans. Everybody said they're going to be that team. They could possibly be up there with the big three or four teams in the Western Conference, with the Warriors, with the Thunder, with the Spurs and with the Clippers. And Anthony Davis, a lot of people predicted that he would win MVP last year. That didn't happen. An atrocious season, missed the playoffs for the Pelicans. Davis was injured quite a bit. Everybody thinks that Karl Anthony Towns, that's the guy this year. Do you think that we're going to have a similar situation, or is he going to live up more to the hype? And I'll add another caveat on this. Do you think that Anthony Davis in New Orleans can bounce back a little bit?
I think Davis can bounce back. Obviously, he's going to miss the starter this year, but Karl Anthony's got a lot of help in Minnesota. A lot of help. You mentioned Wiggins and LaVine and Rubio and now Chris Dunn. So they've got a lot of help. They've got a lot of help in Minnesota for him. So unlike what Anthony Davis was going through, a team that didn't have the help, and even when he had the help, it wasn't healthy, whether it be Drew Holiday, Tyreek Evans, those guys couldn't stay healthy enough to give Davis help.
And Drew Holiday, again, with the unfortunate situation with his wife, he's going to be out a while as well. We don't know how long he'll be out. And I still think that New Orleans, you know, Minnesota made a significant, you know, it was horrible what happened with Flip Saunders, but still the move that they made in the head coaching realm is a significant upgrade. I still don't understand why New Orleans let go of Monty Williams. It still boggles my mind. I think they would have been a better team, and I think they would still be a better team with that guy on the bench. I think that was a big contributor into why they weren't as good as a lot of people expected them to be last year. I think they bounced back. I think Davis is going to have a lot to prove. You know, the All-Star game is going to be in New Orleans after everything that happened. Again, after everything that happened, you know, with the laws in North Carolina, the All-Star game being moved, even with him missing the beginning of the season, I think Anthony Davis could possibly end up on that All-Star team. I think that he has a lot to prove. That team has a lot to prove, and I think they could fight for, you know, one of the bottom spots in that conference. But as far as Karl Anthony Towns goes, I obviously think that he's going to – I don't necessarily think he's going to be in the MVP conversation or anything like that, but I think – I don't think he's going to have a sophomore slump. I think he's going to be phenomenal. And most of that, I think, is the coaching of Tom Thibodeau and the fact that I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be really good. So I don't think that we're going to have that same situation where, you know, the next big thing doesn't live up to the hype.
Trey Down, Eat Lenmar, Tez, TNT, Trey, and Tez. Again, follow him on Twitter, at TD Experience, or myself, at Martez620. Breakout stars, you mentioned Karl Anthony Towns. Is that who you're choosing to be the breakout star in 2016-17?
You know, I wouldn't. I'm not going to go that far because I think he is almost really that star. But I think a guy that could really take the next step and could possibly be considered, you know, one of those guys could be. This isn't my bold prediction. I won't get into that just yet. But I really think that my Magic are going to regret trading Victor Oladipo. I think him paired with Russell Westbrook, I saw flashes of Oladipo. I don't understand how out of him and Peyton was viewed as the untouchable one instead of Oladipo. I really think that he just took a little bit longer to develop than they thought. I think he's shown more flashes than a guy like Aaron Gordon or Elfrid Payton have. And that's the guy you let go of and you send him to a team like Oklahoma City when you have Westbrook's going to be motivated to score 50, 60 points, but he's going to be motivated to get other guys the ball. So people aren't think, you know, I'm not a selfish player that forced Kevin Durant out. He's going to be after 10 assists a game. And I think Oladipo is going to benefit from that. And really he could win the most improved player in the NBA this year. If I had to make a prediction on that award,
I think one of the best things that has happened this offseason was Tom Thibodeau ending up in Minnesota for the Timberwolves and getting that young team. But it's also what he'll require from that team, and that's to play all-around games and to play defense. You've seen some nights, and you mentioned Wiggins. You mentioned Wiggins, and there's some nights where he has taken off. And I don't mean taken off as far as scoring 30. I mean where he hasn't played consistently. Well, guess what? Having Thibodeau as a coach will get all of that out of him, just like he got it out of Jimmy Butler, and that's my guy to be the breakout this year, Wiggins.
I really think so, too. I think a lot of people are making Towns that guy. I think Wiggins is really going to break through and be phenomenal. I think that team's going to be phenomenal. But now we can transition into a little bit of fun. There's always some crazy things that happen in the NBA season. We're not necessarily saying that we actually believe these, but if you had to put a bold prediction on this NBA season, something that, you know, could possibly be the first time we ever see it, a real true surprise player or team, heck, even trade if you want, what is your bold prediction for this NBA season?
You're going to narrow me down to one? I got a couple.
Hey, if you're feeling that bold, throw them at
me. I'm bold. Let's see. I'll go with, this will be, I'll give you 1B before 1A. 1A is more bolder than 1B. 1B is Kristaps Porzingis will be an all-star this year. Ooh. He'll be an all-star this year. I'm almost tempted to say he'll be a starting all-star because he's going to probably, he'll probably get 2010 this year. But again, 1B is he's an all-star this year. But my 1A, and somehow, some way, Dwayne Wade ends up a Cavalier.
Wow. That's bold. I don't see how in the world that could possibly happen. That would be very interesting and make, you know, especially if we have another rematch between the Warriors and the Cavs. Wow. When you're talking about those two rosters. I don't see that happening. But, you know, that's why we call these bold predictions. Now, my bold prediction isn't necessarily a player moving or a player making his first All-Star team. It's going to be statistic-wise. I almost want to say he's just going to flirt with it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to go all the way bold. Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double this season. How like I said, he's going to be motivated to get the other guys the ball. He's going to be going after those 10 assists. We saw how often he did it when Durant was injured that year and they just missed the playoffs. I really think if any NBA player is ever going to do that, I think that this is the year and this is the guy. Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double for this whole season.
Well, let's look at something. Think about their starting lineup right now. Just play along and try to figure out how they're going to start, who, where. Obviously, your point guard is Westbrook. Depot's going to play. Is he going to be the sixth man, or is he going to start there?
I mean, you could see a mix. I think he'll probably start because I think you'll see Roberson start at the three with them not having Durant anymore. So I think Depot will probably start at the two. If I had to make a guess, he'll get the majority of the minutes starting at that position.
So we starting Cantor and Adams together?
I think Cantor will come off the bench. I think the rookie they got in the trade from when the Ibaka trade from Orlando, I think he
Sabonis.
I think he'll start at the four.
And you think that lineup's going to get Russell Westbrook enough assists to average a triple double all season long?
Well, when you have, I think he'll play.
That's why I'm asking. Who's scoring these points?
I think Oladipo has a very strong possibility of averaging 15 to 20 points this year. I think a lot of it's going to come from that, and I think Westbrook will get a lot of minutes with Cantor as well, and Cantor will score. I think Adams, a lot of people are pegging him. He could possibly be the most improved player this year. I think it's a bold prediction. I'm not convinced he's going to do it. If I had to really put money on it, I'd say he's going to get really close, but it won't happen. But we're being bold here. So Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double. And obviously, as we get into the next question, if Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double, he's going to be the NBA MVP. But the last three MVPs are on the same team. You got Curry with two, Durant with one. Do either of them have any shot at winning the MVP this year?
Those two guys on the same team? No. They're going to take votes away from each other. Not to mention the fact that they have another guy in their starting five that's likely to finish in the top five or six in the MVP voting, and that's Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You know, for all the talk about what Draymond does with his legs and what he shouldn't do with his legs, he's a very good basketball player. And the only reason why we don't talk more about what he does skill-wise is because he's on that team. I said it to you when it happened. I'll say it again. Game 7 against Cleveland in Golden State this past year in the finals, he was the one guy that showed up.
Yeah.
Granted, Steph may not been 100%, but that team was still loaded. Maybe not as loaded as it is now with Kevin Durant on it, but it was loaded then. And the one guy that showed up, and sure, he missed a game because he did his little thing with the legs and everything, but still, Draymond was the one guy. Game 7 was supposed to be everybody show up. He was the guy that showed up. So Draymond is a skilled player and a player that, again, you'll hear more about if he does less of the stupid things and more about playing basketball. With that said, you've got all those guys taking votes from each other when it comes to that team. And yes, they may win the most games in the Western Conference once they figure out who's going to shoot what when, but I don't see a Golden State Warrior winning an MVP.
So if you want to, I think one of them could possibly have a chance if they still win 60 plus games, if one of those two, if Durant or Curry miss a significant portion of time and they're still, you know, the number one seed in the conference. I think whichever one doesn't get hurt and plays, but you can't really predict injuries. I think that's the only way that one of them ends up winning the MVP, or if one of them has a huge record-setting season like I'm talking about Westbrook having. Now, I obviously think Russell Westbrook is going to be the MVP, even if he doesn't average a triple-double. I just think that based on how good I still think Oklahoma City is going to be this year. And when I talk about MVP, a lot of people view it as best player and things like that. I really view it for what it is, most valuable player. And I think that's going to be Russell Westbrook. A lot of hype around James Harden. A lot of people are picking James Harden to have a huge bounce back season and win the MVP.
Numbers wise.
A lot of people are still talking about LeBron. If you don't think one of those Golden State guys, do you think it's a Westbrook? Do you think it's a LeBron? Do you think it's a Harden? Or is there somebody else off the radar that you think is going
to
be the MVP?
I would like to be able to say someone off the radar, but with the way the Eastern Conference is, just look at the Eastern Conference alone. Think about a player that could challenge LeBron for the MVP, just in the conference alone.
There's one on Indiana. That's the only guy.
That's the only guy. And unfortunately for him, he plays in Indiana.
Yeah.
So when it comes to trying to, you know, sift through who's going to win this award come the end of the year, LeBron is going to be in the top three, top four. We know that. You got to start thinking about who's going to challenge him. And when guys at Golden State are knocking each other over for votes, I think LeBron wins another one. Not to mention the fact that...
He's fifth, yeah.
Not to mention the fact that he wasn't feeling real well when he didn't win it this past year. And...
He was very disappointed, yeah.
And he finished, what, third in the voting?
I think he finished... second or third, somewhere right there. Him and Kawhi were right there. I think Kawhi is a guy that could possibly be there. Another possible dark horse, we talked about Paul George in the Eastern Conference. If in the Western Conference, if you have, you know, guys that you could be on the lookout for, if the Clippers somehow be the number one seed, you could look at Chris Paul. If you end up looking at the Western Conference, you see Golden State number one, but somehow Portland is number two. I think Damian Lillard could possibly be in that conversation, but I just think everything, the narrative is there. All eyes are going to be on Russell Westbrook. I just think that everything is set up for him to have a huge year and for him to be the 2016-2017 NBA MVP.
I'd like to think that you're right because of what we know now and the way Durant left Oklahoma City and the way Russell has handled himself. Because nothing is out there that says that he's done anything wrong regarding how Durant left him. He didn't leave Durant. Durant left him.
Yeah.
So there's nothing for Russell to do. He doesn't have to call somebody and say, hey, why'd you leave? No, that's not his place.
I think there would be a lot different narrative around Russell Westbrook this season if he didn't already sign that contract extension. I think that, you know, a lot of people throughout this whole, all the years that Durant and Westbrook played together, Westbrook was almost viewed as, if you wanted to make a villain out of those two, it was Westbrook. I think Westbrook is the most, you know, sympathetic. We want this. He has a little bit of the LeBron factor in going back to Cleveland with the fact that he's staying in Oklahoma City. And that came out. It came out afterwards in that, like I said, that piece by Lee Jenkins on Russell Westbrook. He said he was never going to leave. So I think that there's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be a lot of eyes and there's going to be a lot of rooting for Russell Westbrook. And I think that comes into play when it goes to MVP voters. To be honest, it's not necessarily the right thing. But I think that even if Kevin Durant has a career year, averages 35 points, if the Thunder are the number two or number three seed, I think Westbrook still gets more votes than Durant.
It's nice to think that he could have that type of year. I know you like him a lot. I like him a lot. And Oklahoma City would love for him to have that type of year. I'm just scared he might just try too hard. To prove that he is the guy. That's my only fear with him. Because he's done that before, and he's forced shots, and he's got played out of control. And
I think he's a better player, more mature now to where that. I mean, we'll see that in some games because that's who Russell Westbrook is. It put perfectly. I'm gonna keep going back to that Lee Jenkins piece again. There was a game where he was horrible in Dallas in one of his first couple seasons. And then he came back and, you know, hit a game tying shot and then made an assist to Durant. And that really turned it around for him. His confidence was at an all-time low. And one of the closest people to him said, you're not Tom Brady. You're Brett Favre. That's how you've got to play. You're going to be, if you want to talk about, you know, a gunslinger in the NBA, that's who Russell Westbrook is. And he's going to have some bad games, but I think his good at this point is going to far outweigh the bad. And we saw what he did two seasons ago in completely willing that team into almost making the playoffs over New Orleans when Durant missed most of the season. And motivation is a big thing. If he's going to try hard, and other than, you know, that one season before that he got hurt, that one season he hadn't missed a game through high school, college, or the NBA till then. So he's been injured now, but I don't think this is a guy that you can really talk about having injury concerns. Now we're about to get into, you know, we got through our MVP. We're about to get into who could, you know, there is a clear number one team in each conference, and we're going to talk about who could possibly be the best challenger to them and who could, you know, who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to win the finals. But I think one of the biggest things in the NBA, almost, you know, even more in some other, not as much in some leagues, and we saw it last year with the Cavs making a coaching change midseason. Tyronn Lue leads them to the NBA finals. They win the championship. Who's your pick? Who do you think is going to win the coach of the year this year in the NBA?
Thibodeau.
I think that's very possible. And
Hornacek, baby!
That homer pick right there, Frank Vogel. No, I'm not going that far. I think it's the year that Brad Stevens wins coach of the year. He's done a phenomenal job in Boston. I think adding Al Horford was one of the best moves of this offseason. And they were really close to getting Kevin Durant right there with the Thunder. Other than the Warriors and the Thunder, they were probably that third team that actually had a shot at getting him. And with Isaiah Thomas having a guy, you still have Marcus Smart in that backcourt as well, who's still developing. There could possibly be a big trade. They've had their eyes on Boogie Cousins for a while. We still need to get that question too before we get into the playoffs. But I really think that based on the job he's done in his first couple of years, I think this is the year that Brad Stevens gets that recognition as the NBA coach of the
year. You know, we always talk about players wanting redemption. Well, this year, there's coaches out there that want redemption too. You mentioned Vogel, Hornacek, Thibodeau. Scott Brooks. Those guys want, there's four guys. And you know, you get that because whether it be the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, you get recycled coaches or managers. But more so this year in the NBA, there are coaches that have players that can get them that redemption too. You mentioned all those teams. All those teams are playoff type teams.
Yeah, they're teams that, like you could say, that don't necessarily have the highest expectations. So if they overachieve, that's where your coach of the year is probably going to come from. The Lakers are still going to be horrible, but if Luke Walton does something with that team, if they flirt with making the playoffs, I mean, he could be in that conversation somehow. I don't think it's going to happen, but you've got a lot of coaching turnover, and I think a lot of guys ended up in good places that could possibly see them win this award. I mentioned the trade thing. We talked about bold predictions. I mean, you already said said your choice. You think Dwayne Wade is going to move. I think a name that could move, if the Clippers get off to a bad start, I could see Blake Griffin going. But I think at the end of the day, the biggest name, I think Boogie Cousins finally moves. And I think it really could be to Boston. Boston has the pieces. They've had their eyes on him for a while. I think him and Horford could still play next to each other. I think, I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be Boston, but I think before he walks on his own, which is going to happen, I think Sacramento finally moves Boogie Cousins.
Well, see, that's what will destroy him going to Boston, because they won't put up with that craziness. You have to. He's not going to Boston to play for Bill Belichick and New England Patriots.
Yeah.
He's going to play for Brad Stevens. And as much as Stevens is respected within this league, and every year the respect level goes up higher and higher because he continues to get more wins for the Celtics, unfortunately, for the Celtics, I don't know that he has the cachet to handle a guy like DeMarcus in Boston. He's not going to play for Pop. He's not going to play for Tibbs. He's not playing for Doc Rivers. He's going to play for Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens, to me, doesn't look like the guy that has the temperament to deal with a guy like Cousins.
I'll ask you this. Could we see some kind of blockbuster move where you see a Boogie Cousins for Blake Griffin trade?
I could see that.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, that a guy like Doc Rivers could be a guy that could really coach Boogie Cousins up, and he could live up to his potential under that. That's a possibility right there.
And he might actually get Boogie to play some defense too.
Yeah, I think that. But I think somehow I think I just say Boston because they have the pieces and there's that's been rumored for a while, but I think somehow, some way, don't know what team, but I think even with them opening the new arena and needing a big star, I think that's why they haven't traded him yet. But I think they have to trade him before he walks, because I don't think Boogie Cousins is going to be a king that much longer.
If you bring Blake, then you still have that big name for that arena.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's why that could work perfectly.
I mentioned Wade leaving Chicago. And again, it's just something you throw out there that potentially could happen. But I really don't see those three guys we mentioned, whether it be Butler, Wade, or Rondo, finishing the season together.
There were heavy rumors last year, Jimmy Butler to Orlando. And there were heavy rumors, you know, in the offseason, Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. So, I mean, you see Wade moving, Butler still could possibly
or Rondo.
Be on those lists.
Remember the last time Rondo didn't play for Sacramento? He was playing for Dallas.
Yeah.
And he was playing for Rick Carlisle, and how things went sideways in there. It could happen again.
Yeah, I just don't necessarily see that. When I talk about big names moving, I think Rondo has dropped down that list. Now, I loved Rondo when he was in Boston, but I don't, you know, I've got mini Rajon Rondo and Elfrid Payton in Orlando, and I'm, you know, a lot of people were hoping Rondo would come to Orlando this offseason. I said, why? You have a younger version of the same guy.
A guy who can't shoot.
Exactly. A guy who can play defense and is going to dish out a lot of assists but isn't going to shoot, and that's why I don't necessarily. But, see, the issue with that in Chicago is Rondo's clearly going to play the point. Those other two guys are the ones that are really with the playing the two. So that's the issue you have there. You get rid of Rose. Who are you going to have play the point if you get rid of Rondo? That's the situation there. But now, this is a TNT podcast. Lynn Martez, Trey Downey, at Martez620, at TD Experience. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. First, before we tell you what teams are going to make the playoffs, for sure, the eight in each conference, and who's going to make the finals, like we've been saying, this podcast has been built around Cleveland and Golden State. Actually, we haven't talked too much about the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers, but that's probably because it's virtually the same team. They have the same coach, same starting five, same guys. Dellavedova leaves. That's probably the biggest loss that they've had this offseason. But there is clearly a favorite. I haven't seen really... I've seen a couple people pick the Spurs to go to the NBA Finals, but other than that, over 90% of people are predicting a rubber match between Cleveland and Golden State in the NBA Finals. That might be the smart way to go, but when you talk about it at the end of the day, there's going to be a team in each it's not going to be a cakewalk. So who do you think? There's question marks in both conferences. Usually you don't say that. Usually you can earmark the Spurs, you can earmark the Thunder, you can earmark the Clippers. There are questions with all of those teams. And in the Eastern Conference, I mean, the Raptors were good last year. Who's going to be the team that steps up? Who's going to challenge Cleveland in the East? And who's going to challenge Golden State in the West?
Boston challenges Cleveland. And Portland challenges Golden State. I would love to tell you that the Clippers will get their act together and challenge Golden State. Because for me, not only is that one of the better rivalries because they're in the same state and they go at it the way they go at it. And I mean, there's tension there within those teams. I'd love to tell you that the big three for the Clippers would actually show up in a 7-game series. But unfortunately, they haven't gotten their act right for the last 3 or 4 years. And because of that, I'm not picking the Clippers. But the thing about the Clippers is that they have... When you look at it on paper, they have what would challenge the Golden State just right.
They have an inside game.
They have an inside game, a defender on the inside. They would actually control the boards, and they have a guy on at the point who would run their offense and can guard Steph. And a guy that would run their offense the right way, the way it should be run at the end of games. But they can't get their act right. They can't get out of their own way. So I'm not picking the Clippers. I'm picking the Trailblazers in the West. And Boston and East.
I like the Portland pick. I would have liked it even more if they really could have. I loved the idea of Dwight Howard going to Portland and being with Lillard and McCollum.
You and Dwight.
And I would be right there. I would say that's your team. I told you earlier, I'm not counting out the Spurs. I think that they're the number 2 seed in the Western Conference. I don't think that they face Golden State in the playoffs because I, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, there are a lot of question marks. I think Minnesota is going to be a top five seed in the Western Conference. I don't think they're ready to challenge Golden State yet. I think the Clippers are going to finish in the bottom half of the Western Conference this year, to be honest. I think no matter what happens, whether he's traded midseason, I don't think you see Blake Griffin back in a Clippers uniform after 2016-2017. The Spurs, they're solid. Portland, I think, is right there. They're one. If Portland could make a move for a guy like Boogie Cousins, I could see that being a possibility. I think if there's going to be a team that challenges them, it's really hard to pick one, but I think it could. I think it's the Thunder. I think a lot of people are underestimating the rest of that roster, and I told you over and over again, I loved Serge Ibaka, but I love the Oladipo move, and I love him playing, you know, Russell taking him under his wing and that thing, and I just think that Russell's going to be motivated. I don't think they're going to have a better record than Golden State in the regular season, but I think every time those two teams play, there's going to be so much emotion and so much want to on both sides. Because if everything is true, if Durant didn't like Westbrook as much as, you know, is possibly out there, he's not going to want to let that guy beat him when he's going to be the heavily favored guy as well. So I think that if those two teams face off in the Western Conference Finals, I think it's going to be fireworks. And I think, like I said, I don't think that I'm not trying to say Oklahoma City is a better team than Golden State, but I think Golden State is so talented that you need something, some kind of catalyst on your team to really compete with them. And I think Westbrook's motivation and all of those guys knowing Durant so well and him adding to the team, and they know Golden State from playing them now. I think if any team challenges them, I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but I think if any team really challenges them, I think it's the Thunder. And in the East, I agree with you. I agree with Boston. I think Boston's the two seed in that conference. But I think another team that could really challenge them is Indiana. I think, like I said, I love the Al Jefferson and Jeff Teague. I think George has a great season. So in the Western Conference, I'm going Spurs and Thunder as being possible to challenge Golden
One team,
State.
Man. It's two teams. So pick one team.
One team. Okay, we're gonna go Thunder. We're gonna go Thunder in the West. And we're going to go Indiana in the Eastern Conference. So now we've said that. Let's go with it.
Knicks are the third seed in the East.
You have the floor. Who's making the playoffs?
Eastern Conference. That's simple. Cleveland, Boston. That's two. Indiana. That's three. Toronto's four. Knicks five. Detroit. Atlanta. I think that's it. That's
seven. You got one more.
Charlotte.
You just told me Charlotte's missing the playoffs earlier in the podcast. Give me somebody else. Do it. You know you want to. You know you want to.
Oh, Chicago?
No.
Miami?
No.
Orlando?
Yeah.
Mm. All right, fine. For you, Orlando.
All right, so I'll go my Eastern Conference. I got Cavs as the one seed, Boston two, Indiana three, even though we'll talk about it in a second. I think they get past the Celtics. I got Toronto four. I got Atlanta as the five seed. Toronto and Atlanta in the first round. That's going to be a heck of a series. I got Charlotte as the six seed. The Orlando Magic, the seven seed in the Eastern Conference.
You've lost your mind.
I think they have.
You haven't lost your mind because Orlando's going to finish the seventh seed. You lost your mind because you haven't named a team yet. You've lost your mind.
And the number eight seed in the Eastern Conference will be the Detroit Pistons.
You definitely lost your mind.
I told you earlier. I said I'm having a hard time putting the Knicks and the Bulls in the playoffs. And that's simple. I told you that my biggest deal with it is a lot of the teams that are going to compete. I have the Wizards missing the playoffs again, and that was hard for me. Wizards, Charlotte, and Detroit. I think Orlando will find. I think another player that could be considered for most improved player this season is going to be Evan Fournier, because where else are you going to get scoring on the Orlando Magic other than Fournier and Vucevic? So Aaron Gordon too. If Aaron Gordon, I think I'm not the brightest basketball mind in the world. I'll tell you that.
You're proving that in the last 2 minutes.
But I'm sitting here saying, if I've watched the Magic play a lot And I've watched Aaron Gordon play. And yes, he was phenomenal in that dunk contest last year. But him really being a starting three in the NBA who's able to shoot and score, I don't see it. But a lot of other people with brighter basketball that know a lot more about basketball than I do think that.
You're going on this rant, and the game has changed. He doesn't have to be that three guy like that anymore.
But for this team to take that next step and be a playoff team, they need him to.
Well, they don't have that guy on his team yet, so he doesn't have to be that guy. When they get that guy, then he'll slide out and he'll end up being athletic four.
But I think, you're not going to have that when you have that's not what they have planned for him, obviously. When you trade for Ibaka, when you sign Biombo, when you sign Jeff Green.
Serge is renting, by the way. He's renting his place. Wherever he's living, he's renting. He's another guy that can make our list as far as potential guys who won't be here very long.
A lot of people could possibly say that's Vucevic. I really hope that's not so, because I still think he's the best player on that team. I think that's a guy that probably could and should be considered for an all-star spot this year. I just think that this is the year, and I think that the biggest difference is I've thought for the past couple of years they could really make that next step and get back to the playoffs, but I think the big issue has been coaching. And I never thought Scott Skiles was the guy. They had that stretch from Thanksgiving to Christmas last year. They had the best record in the Eastern Conference. So this team has the talent. They no longer have Oladipo, but I think adding a veteran presence, proven guys that have playoff experience like Jeff Green and like Serge Ibaka will help. The Biombo signing is still puzzling to me because of what you have in Vucevic. But I still, I'm not saying they're making a playoff run, but I think that they're the seventh seed. I think they make the playoffs. And like I said, I think these teams have young pieces who are going to be out there competing for a playoff spot. And I think key pieces of the Knicks and the Bulls are going to miss significant time. That's why I'm predicting Detroit, Charlotte, and Orlando to get in. And who knows? That bottom of the Western of the Eastern Conference, I think really the top four are the only guarantees. Cavs, Celtics, Pacers, and Raptors.
They're guaranteed to make it.
Yes.
You're leaving out of the top four, though.
What team am I leaving out?
The New York Knicks.
I don't think they're going to be a top four. I think the Hawks are going to be really good, but we'll wait and see how Howard and Millsap play off of each other. I think that's better because Millsap and Horford were too similar of a player. I think that Howard and Millsap work better together. I'm not the biggest fan of handing the keys to Dennis Schroeder instead of Jeff Teague. I think that's a mistake, but I still think they're a playoff team. I think the Wizards are going to be better. I think you still have to watch out for Milwaukee. I mean, in the Eastern Conference, you've got really one team that's going to be horrible, in my opinion, and that's the Brooklyn Nets. And Philadelphia probably as well aren't going to be very good. But other than that, I think any of the rest of the 13 teams, you could make a case that they'll make the playoffs. Now, in the Western Conference, things get fishy as well. And I'll start at the top. I've got the Warriors as the number one seed. San Antonio has the number two seed in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City Thunder, third seed. Portland, four. Minnesota, five. The LA Clippers, the sixth seed. They always find a way. The Memphis Grizzlies still make the playoffs as 7th seed. And the 8th seed I really struggled with to pick a team. Do I pick a Utah? Do I pick a Dallas? I ended up going, I think, even though he's going to miss some of the year, I think New Orleans makes the playoffs, sneaks in as that last seed in the Western Conference.
Now, for me, it's simple. It's Golden State. It's LA, the Clippers. Spurs. Thunder, Rockets, they'll score a lot.
Yeah.
They'll score a lot.
You're leaving out Portland.
Done yet. Trailblazers.
Oh, you're not going in order like how I am.
Trailblazers, Minnesota, and Utah.
See, I just don't.
Dallas doesn't make it.
I think Dallas was the one that I struggled with at the end. I think Memphis. I think adding Chandler Parsons, I think Mike Conley got that big conference. Zach Randolph is going to come off the bench.
That run is over.
which I think is I'm not saying they're going to be that team that's up there, number two, number three seed, making the Western Conference Finals. I think they sneak in.
The league is past that type of basketball by.
But they're,
you see it,
but they're not playing.
Even in their conference, but, you see it over and over. There's nights where they get blown out by 20 a night, man.
But they're planning. They're not planning to be that team anymore. They're planning to run.
And they still have guys to get on that team. And you talk about guys not getting through the season. You're counting on Chandler Parsons to get through a season?
No, that's why I really didn't want him to go to Orlando. But I still think Conley and Gasol, those are two top 10 guys at their position. Gasol's a top five guy at his position. I think that they still find a way to get into the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to do. So I've got Cavs, Detroit in the first round in the Eastern Conference. I've got the Cavs going on. I've got Celtics, Magic in the first round. The Celtics go on there. Pacers, Charlotte, Pacers, Raptors, Hawks. I think the Hawks upset the Raptors in the first round. So you've got Cavs, Hawks, Celtics, Pacers, Eastern Conference Finals, Cavs, Pacers, Cavs go to the NBA Finals. Western Conference, Warriors, New Orleans, first round, Warriors go on. Spurs, Memphis, Spurs go on. Thunder, Clippers, the Thunder go on. Portland, Minnesota in a great seven-game series. I think Portland still advances. The Warriors and Portland, because Portland's going to be drained from that series, I go Warriors, Spurs, Thunder. I go Thunder, Warriors, Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. At the end of the day, I still have to go Warriors as much as it pains me, and we get the rubber match in the NBA Finals.
You're crazy if you think the Thunder are making the Western Conference Finals. That's not going to happen. As much as I'd like to see those two teams play each other with those stakes, that's not going to happen. Now, Thunder don't have enough scoring to make it that far. With the amount of scoring those teams have in the Western Conference, the teams that we mentioned, Portland, Houston, those teams can score.
See, but I don't have Houston making the playoffs. I have the teams I have the. I
well, think, that's why I said you're
I
crazy.
I think the Clippers are going to fall apart a little. I think. This is what I have. I have the Thunder playing the Clippers in the first round. That's not the team. I mean, they're great, but that's not a run-and-gun team that's going to put up that many points. I think they beat the – and then I have them playing the Spurs in the second round. So when they run into a team that's going to score that many points in Golden State, I think that's when they go out.
Well, I got the rubber match, too, the finals being the Cavs and Golden State.
And do you have Portland playing Golden State in the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Now – here we go.
There's no here we go. It's real simple. It's going to be Golden State.
Even if Wade goes to Cleveland, like you said.
Even with Wade going to Cleveland, it's going to be Golden State. Think about what you said originally. You said a little while ago, and with Wade going to Cleveland, if that doesn't happen, one of the things you said earlier is probably the biggest thing that the Cavs have to deal with this year. Everyone else around them has gotten better, and they're the same. They're the same team, and it's not a knock on them. They're just stuck with a cap that they're completely over. I mean, they're paying the biggest luxury tax I think ever in NBA history. They're paying a huge luxury tax because LeBron has got all his boys and some more money. Whether it be JR, Tristan, all those guys got big money contracts. With that said, they're handcuffed and getting any better. And because of that, the team they played last year has added a future Hall of Famer. Think about it. I mean, and it's real simple to say, and I know I understand it's about matchups and it's about playing the same team seven games. I get that. But just humor me a little bit. They traded Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant. Basically, Game 7, Durant comes out of the stands and says, Harrison, I'm playing for you tonight. Are you going to tell me the result of the game doesn't change? If that's what happened this past year, the result changes. Harrison Barnes, get out of your uniform, give it to Kevin, and Kevin's playing for you tonight. That's basically what's going to happen.
Here's why I go the other way. I think Cleveland wins back-to-back NBA championships. And the reason I think it's going to be a very similar situation to LeBron's first year in Miami, the first year of the big three together. Golden State rose so quickly and And so it wasn't even so quickly. They were together for a while, and it's been those same Steph, Clay, Draymond. You had Iguodala, you had Bogut. Barnes was a big piece of that. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think how Klay Thompson is used and how Klay Thompson handles that this season, I think that's one of the biggest stories of this NBA season. And I think at the end of the day, I think, you know, Durant played against LeBron in the NBA Finals at, what was it, 2011. So he has finals experience, but that was a long time ago. And I think in this moment, I think Kevin Durant is going to feel so much pressure in that situation. I don't necessarily think Steph will, but I think more than anybody, I think Durant is going to feel so much pressure that he has to win because of the decision that he made. And we saw him fall apart a little bit this year in the playoffs against Golden State. And that's why I think at the end of the day, their talent gets them past the rest of the Western Conference and gets them past Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think at the end of the day, I think Cleveland again wins the NBA Finals. And I think this year they hoist the trophy at home.
What you say is fine and dandy when it comes to Durant, because I'll agree. He's more Robin than Batman, as corny as it sounds. He is.
But he doesn't have to be Batman in this situation.
He doesn't have to be Batman in this situation. Again, all you're basically doing is saying, Harrison, give your jersey to him. He's playing for you tonight. And in 30 minutes, Durant doesn't have to be that guy. In 35 minutes, he doesn't have to be that guy. All he has to do is provide them with what they didn't have last year. And that's with a guy who can shoot from that three position. And last year, they didn't have that guy. They had Harrison Barnes going 2-for-9 some nights, 0-for-7, 0-for-12, whatever it was. This year, they have that guy. Sure, Cleveland won the finals this past year, but all they needed was just a little bit in any of those games to get over the hump. Kevin Durant gives him that little bit to get over the hump.
You know, it's going to be fascinating to see. But like I said, at the end of the day, I think Durant's going to have so much pressure on him. I think he might try too hard. We talk about Westbrook trying too hard. I think especially when it comes down to the NBA Finals, I think we could see that by Kevin Durant. But that's a long way away. We've got 82 games from every team. A lot could happen. Who knows? Both of these teams could miss the playoffs. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But Cleveland's becoming the set of champions. Cleveland! Like LeBron said, that's what I'm going with. And that is the TNC podcast NBA season preview. We're going to get together numerous times this season and talk about all of the happenings in the association. Not sure quite yet if it's going to be weekly, bi-weekly, how we're going to do this, but you're going to get your NBA fix by listening to us on a regular basis this whole entire NBA season. And we're going to see who's right and who's wrong. It's obviously going to be me when Cleveland wins and Nick missed the playoffs, but, you know, Lynn, it could go the other way as well.
Don't worry about it. You're fine. You can say that right now, and you'll probably delete this from the podcast.
That's not going to happen. Follow him on Twitter, at Martez620. Follow me on Twitter, at TD Experience. We'll talk to you soon.